Hey, babes, it's Kayla Kraft with the Mommy Millionaire Podcast. I'm a mom of three littles, ER nurse turned self-made millionaire, and lifestyle entrepreneur. I am bringing you inspiring stories, business, and mindset tips to help you be shameless in pursuing your ambitions. Hello, Mommy Millionaires. Today, we're going to have a very special guest for our interview. I have coached thousands of women, and one thing that I find to be a theme with most of them, I won't say all of them, but most of them, is this taboo around sex, is this feeling of shame around their body, around their sex lives. And I was like, we need to find a sex expert. So I went and asked around with some of my friends, and actually Allison Bird recommended her for the podcast. I went and checked out her Instagram, checked out her website, and I was like, holy moly, we have got to have this woman on the show. So this is an episode you want to listen to by yourself, you know, put your headphones in. I know you guys are all at home with your kids, but it is something personal and something that will completely change your life if you let it. So I just want to encourage all of you women to be open-minded here and really listen in for those whispers that Kim may have for you. So I just dropped it. We have Kim Anami here. She is here to infuse more passion into your life and bed. She's a holistic sex and relationship coach, writer, and speaker. Her work is a spiritual synthesis of over two decades of tantra, Taoism, transpersonal psychology, philosophy, and a host of quantum growth accelerating practices she uses to propel clients into higher stratospheres of connection, intimacy, energy, and creativity. Her musings on life and love have graced Playboy, Elle, Marie Claire, Shape, The Sunday Times, The Daily Mail, GQ, and national talk shows from E! Network to CNN and NPR. She divides her time between Bali and LA and a host of beaches in between, where she not only lives and surfs, but lifts objects with her vagina. Yes, you heard that right. Her vagina. You can follow her globetrotting and weightlifting vagina and adventures on Instagram with the hashtag things I lift with my vagina. Her sex education videos on YouTube, her podcast Orgasmic Enlightenment, and can check out her online All Things Intimacy programs, which we will link up in the show notes. So welcome, Kim, to the Mommy Millionaire Show.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here.
All right. So how in the world did you get into this? Like, in order to understand this, I have to understand where you came from.
Right. Well, I grew up always having a strong awareness of my sexual energy. And I also recognized that there were all kinds of messages about that out in the public, like from family, from religions, from the culture at large, that didn't really resonate with my own intuitive sense of what this was. So I had some very early cataclysmic, like spiritual sexual experiences in my younger self. And then in my early 20s, I discovered Tantra and Taoism. And these are ancient 5,000-year-old studies in India and China of sexuality and spirituality. So they married the two together. They believed that sex could actually be used as a pathway for healing, rejuvenation, and enlightenment, that this was actually an energy that you could consciously tap into and use for your own self and the betterment of yourself and of others. So that was much more reflective of my own intuitive and personal experiences. So I began studying that. And then that combined with my own interests in overall holistic health and healing. So I've always been fascinated with the idea of how do we change? How do we grow? How do we become the best versions of ourselves? So I've studied everything from transpersonal psychology to meditation to healthy eating and exercise and all kinds of holistic modalities. And then put all of that together to create the work that I do. And what I saw over the years of working with myself and working with other people is that it's one of the cornerstones, right? Like, people can be invested in personal growth and wellness and do a lot of positive things for themselves. Mm-hmm. And then they get to the sexual piece and they're like, oh, like I didn't realize. And it was almost like they had to get prepared to start embarking down that road. And then once they did, that would quantum leap everything else that they were doing in their lives, right? Like they could get so far doing this or from healthy eating or exercise or meditation. And then they looked at their own sexual stuff and then boom, that would just accelerate their growth and like, to a massive level. So that's why I'm such a proponent of it and really winding away a lot of the conditioning and misinformation about sex and showing people what sex really can be in their lives and what a power source that it is.
Oh, I love that. I'm so excited to talk about this because first of all, I want to hit on this. When we are oppressed in our sexuality, it does affect our business. I truly believe that. I've seen it happen in my own life. Why is that?
Well, sexual energy, creativity, and money are all second chakra issues, right? So they're all related. And the way that I look at it is that sexual energy is life force energy. This is the energy that creates new life. And if you're not creating babies with it, you can channel this energy. You can tap into it and harvest it and then funnel it out into everything you do in the world. And it's also the blueprint of your reproductive potential, right? Your genetic, you know, material is housed within this energy. So what I've seen over and over again is that as people begin to inhabit their sexual selves, they then wear this energy and they begin to become in alignment with who they truly are in the world. And when you become that, you also become in alignment and begin to express more of your true gifts in life, right? Like if we think about people who work a 9-to-5 job and they're doing it more to pay the bills versus someone who really feels like they found their gifts, they found their vocation and their work, it's really just an expression of who they are as a person. You know, I feel that about my work. I'm not a different person outside of my work. There's really no delineation, right? And so I feel like I really have been able to find what are my true gifts to give in the world and give those. And I feel like when people do that, that's when the money and the abundance really comes in. And then I've noticed working in couples in relationship where, for example, there was this couple who were self-employed, they ran a business together. And they would be frequently in these stages of feast or famine. They would be doing really well, and then they would be asking people to lend them money to pay their rent, right? Like they would be, you know, really fluctuating. And I worked with them on a relationship. They'd been together for about 30 years. And what I found is that they had all kinds of unresolved blockages that had piled up over the years in their relationship that they just tried to sweep under the carpet. And they would have told you they had a pretty good relationship. But, you know, if you peek under the surface a bit, there were still these issues that they were just rationalizing away. So as we worked together, it was like clockwork. We would clear a blockage, like say go into an old argument or old scenario of abuse that the woman had in her past. And then they would literally the next day get a phone call with some kind of financial or job offer. It was that ridiculously clear, right? Like they would move something, heal something, resolve something, and then boom, they would get money coming in. It was laughable. And that was what really crystallized it for me. I'd seen this, I'd kind of known about it before, but it was with that particular couple where it was almost a game, right? Like they would get, oh, can you come and do this, you know, for this amount of money? It was like, oh my gosh. And that's when I saw that there's this real, legitimate, energetic, you know, impact of clearing and owning our sexual energy and how that then shows up in our world, in our work, and even in our finances.
I love it. So let's talk about the sexual energy and how it changes after we have kids. Because I know for me, I'll just tell my personal story, but after I had my first baby, I mean, I ripped from like the inside, you know, like all the way up. I had a 4th-degree tear. I mean, like they had to, you know, they had to stitch up everything down there. I was scared for a long time to have sex, to be felt. And then I didn't want my husband to even see down there. I was like, oh no, like that does not look the same. Like don't go anywhere near there. And so like, I know that there's other moms because I've talked to so many of them that feel the exact same way. I've done a lot of like inner work and I've done a lot of like visual work, looking at my vulva, falling in love with it. But that's not stuff that people talk about on playdates. You know what I mean? People want to.
They ought to. Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's a lot of really valid stuff that you're talking about. And in this day and age, the way birth has become so medicalized, like, to be honest, most women go through a birth experience and they have PTSD afterward. Mm-hmm. We're labeling it postpartum depression, but honestly, it's more because they've had a very difficult, intervened with surgical type birth, which I would say is very far from what birth ought to be like. And that's through conditioning and programming, right? That's what people are told is normal. I wouldn't say it's normal. They become normalized. Right. And so women come out of birth experiences, I would say, emotionally traumatized, physically traumatized, and physically damaged from these surgical procedures, right? That aren't necessary to happen. Like my, and this is a little bit of a tangent here, we'll come back to your question, but you know, I'm all about the idea of orgasmic birth, that birth was actually meant to be a woman's biggest orgasm in her life. Oh, and that wow, this idea of, right, this idea of painful, traumatic, oh my God, worst, most difficult, painful experience of your life, that that's actually more programming. Because these are the messages we keep getting given over and over and over again. And that what's really truly meant to be is the biggest orgasm of your life. So I have a program called Sexy Mama, and I have a free video series on my website that explains all of this for people, like how there's this big divergence that's happened. So that's one thing. It's just to acknowledge that, you know, often women come out of these experiences like very traumatized. Mm-hmm. And this is why, is that this really wasn't how things were meant to be originally. And to no fault of their own, they've just been, you know, sold these ideas by the typical OBGYN and medical profession, right? Who try to normalize C-sections and normalize surgery as a way of having a baby. So anyway, yeah, so if a woman comes out of that experience feeling different, I mean, first of all, there's this whole psychological, spiritual overlay of Madonna whore, right? That women through Western culture and religions are told that you can't really be a sexual woman and be a mother at the same time, right? Like it's, yes, a virgin or a whore. There's not this happy middle ground of healthy, sexual, voracious, happy woman. Right. And so that's a huge reclaiming for women to do, first of all, and for men, because we all receive these messages, right? Like, oh, men are out there sowing their oats, but women have a certain place. They need to stay sexually, right? They're not really allowed to get beyond that. There's much more shame and judgment for women and a lot more trauma, right, that women go through. So my view is that, you know, having, ideally, when you have a child, your connection is even stronger afterward. Like if you have a more connected birth experience, you'll come out of that feeling even stronger, as you need to be as a unit to raise your children, right? Like the more connected you are as parents, the more effective you're going to be as parents. And to have a strong sexual connection is even better. Like I often like to really frame this for people, like when you're feeling tired or you have a headache, even scientifically, the best remedy is to have sex. You'll gain more energy if you have sex. You release something like 70% of your pain can get diminished through having sex or having an orgasm.
Oh my gosh, I did not know this.
You boost your immune response by over 30% by going to have sex. You build white blood cells. If you're worried about immunity, one of the best things you can do is to have sex. I put out a podcast called Sex, Intimacy, and Immunity recently, talking about all of the psycho-spiritual, but even scientific evidence there is around building immunity through sex. So I think that there's a healing that has to be done after, like, say, an experience like yours, which I think it's wonderful that you've done these things, like really tried to reconnect to your vulva and your vagina. I have a YouTube video on yoni massage on my YouTube channel that walks women through how to give themselves their own yoni massage or their partner to do it for them to reclaim and reintegrate. Because then the temptation when you've had that kind of experience is to dissociate, right? To feel this disconnect, to feel frustration, and to go numb. Most women's vaginas, even prior to having some kind of trauma like that, are numb because they don't exercise them enough through my, you know, vaginal weightlifting or vaginal kung fu, as we could talk about later. But I would
right now as we speak, because I'm like,
what? Well, are you doing them correctly though? Like if you just flap your vagina at random in the wind, it's not going to do anything. You need to actually have a device inside of there, like a jade egg. That's the original Kegel exercise. The one that Dr. Kegel invented involved using a device inside the vagina. Just doing, squeezing isn't effective. The device, the whole exercise became maladapted by doctors following Dr. Kegel, who had a 90% success rate in eliminating urinary incontinence. And as soon as they just modified the exercise to be without any kind of resistance or feedback device, it's like lifting weights in a gym, right? If you have no resistance versus picking up a barbell or a dumbbell, you'll have much better results. So anyway, that reconnection, I think, is really important to go back and heal and fall back in love with that part of yourself. You know, I think that's a really amazing thing that you did. And that sets a great example for other women, is this post-recovery care. And I think, like you said, because there's this taboo about talking openly, like I really would love to see women speaking about these things on their play dates, right? It's like, mm-hmm. How did your vagina fare after your birth, right? Well, mine didn't fare so well. Well, what are you doing to heal it? There's a great yoni massage video you can go and check out. Oh, now I'm using a jade egg to reconnect to my vagina physically and psychologically, emotionally, energetically, right? So vaginal and sexual health is an amazing conversation for women to be having and sharing amongst themselves, because you won't really get those kinds of resources from a typical OBGYN. They actually, you know, horrifyingly will tell women, oh, it's normal to have pain after sex for like a year after you have a baby. Right? That's what they'll say. There's really nothing you can do. That's just normal. And I'm saying, no, that's, you can have and reclaim your pleasure, but it takes some work, right?
Like, yeah, I went into what my doctor, I think it was after my second baby, and told him I was having a major pain. And so they tested me for an STD. And I'm like, I don't have an STD. Like, there's something wrong. Yeah. They thought I had an STD. I'm like, and then it came back negative, of course, but like there were no answers. It was kind of like, well, so then I got vaginal rejuvenation after that. And that helped. That did actually help, because I was probably doing Kegels wrong all this time.
Right. Right.
But yeah, well, you're right. The MDs are kind of just like, they want to put a Band-Aid on it, not fix it.
Yes. Their basic MO is Band-Aids and not really solving. And so back in 2014, I started getting some public recognition for talking about vaginal strengthening and reconnection and using a jade egg, and have had some viral videos and Instagram campaigns since then that have really, but I think, you know, partly the cause of that popularity is that women recognized, wait, here's an answer. Here's a way to solve some of these issues that they've been having for sometimes decades, right? Like women who've gone 20 years with peeing their pants, or not going on a trampoline with their kids, or not being able to go for a run without using a pad, right? Because they've got urinary leakage. No, that's become normalized. It's not normal though, meaning you don't have to live that way. You know, it's a wrong idea perpetuated by the medical profession, who has their own ideas, like using pelvic mesh, which has damaged the vaginas of millions of women, or what, like, you know, taking out organs or whatever they choose to do, which are just really awful Band-Aids. And again, not getting to the root. So I think the reason why so many women resonated with the message I was sharing is, hey, you can take control of your own life and your own vagina and your sexuality, and you can heal pretty much anything with natural holistic methods that don't involve drugs and don't involve surgery. And I've got thousands of vaginas that stand behind me, all speaking in unison, getting wet and orgasming and ejaculating across the room, that can affirm to the truth of that. But it was delightful to see that message go far and wide across the globe, because like I said, I felt like that was a real affirmation that women were craving another way, right? They didn't want to believe the answer they got from a doctor saying, oh, there's no cure for that, or oh, you'll just have to pee your pants for the rest of your life, or oh, we're going to sew this plastic mesh that's going to destroy your vagina forever inside of you, right? That they intuitively are, oh, we have to take out your uterus. You don't really need it anyway, do you? And oh, you'll have to take hormones for the rest of your life. Like, you know, the people come to me who heard these death sentences, and a little voice in them is like, really? Really? Is that the best you can do? Is that the best answer you can give me? Right? And they start to do some exploring, and they find out, well, hey, no, it seems like there are other possibilities, right? And I believe that pretty much anything can be healed. I don't accept the sort of OBGYN or allopathic rhetoric that you have to be reliant on a drug or a surgery or their guidance for the rest of your life. I don't buy that. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me that human bodies are that faulty that they need to have constant interference just so they can run okay. I don't buy that. I buy the story that, or that what I consider the truth, that your body is inherently wise and powerful. And if you're not tapped into that, it just means you got a little bit off course. It means that you've had some conditioning or some trauma or some misinformation or wrong education that's caused you to believe that. Let's get you back on course. Here's how you do it.
Mommy Millionaires, I hope you heard that. And what I'm hearing from her is we have to go back to trusting ourselves. Because, right, I think so many of us have been conditioned to trust other people. Ask for advice from your parents. Ask for advice from the medical doctors. But what happened to ourselves? Like, you know, like that intuition is your strongest asset. So you got to tap into that by becoming familiar and getting into a good relationship with yourself. And it starts with your sexual health. So, okay, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to affirm what you said to say that one of the most important ways and overlooked ways of getting in touch with your truth is through your sexual energy, right? Like there's the fact that there's this massive global campaign to squash sexuality, squash and censor sexuality kind of tells you something, right? Like why is there that? Not because it's bad or inherently dirty, it's because it's an actual power source for people. And when they get into their sexual self-ownership, they become sovereign, autonomous, confident beings who are aware of their own truth. And then they don't have to be reliant on outer systems. They can become reliant and be confident in themselves. And one of the major things that we see happening, especially with women, when they do reconnect to their sexual selves, is that yes, they get a better sense of their own truth, their own intuition, their direction in life, but they also start to display in a delightful way, I don't give a shit what other people think about me energy. Right? They start to express themselves in a way where they're not reliant on or they don't care about the approval of other people. They're not trying not to care. They just don't care anymore. They start to make decisions. They start to say things and take actions in their lives that are basically like, I don't give a fuck what you think about me. I don't care what other people think. I've got my direction and my truth. And that's enough. My self-approval is the only stamp of approval that I need. Of course, you know, you have your partner or whatever, your family, but I mean, essentially, instead of looking to the outside for all of your answers, you start to look more within.
So good. And I was just thinking about that's why it goes so much into, you know, when people come to me for business coaching, and then we find out after we peel back the layers of the onion that, you know, they haven't had sex in months, sometimes years, and they don't even look at themselves naked. I mean, it goes to show you like that is just, it's hand in hand. It really is. Oh my gosh. I'm getting excited for everybody listening in because I'm like, it's just like, I feel like awareness leads to transformation. So if we can help them become aware around like why this has been affecting them, even though they didn't know it was important, you know, so much can change for them. So what would you tell people that, you know, are in this oppression of like sexuality, you know, not sexuality, but their intimacy with themselves, with their partner? What is one thing that they could do like right now after they got off this podcast to get to know themselves better?
Right. So depending on the situation that you're in, like, I think you're right that awareness is a really big starting place. Like a big part of what I do is showing people why. Why should you have more sex? Why is that important to you? Like, I'm not going to sit here and I'll give you a bunch of blowjob tips. Like, that doesn't really matter if you're not having sex and you don't want to have sex, right? If you don't want to do these things, all the tips in the world mean nothing, right? So a big part of my work is helping to inspire people. Why would you like to do this, right? And so I talk a lot about the concept, you know, which we've touched on, but that your sexual energy is this power source, right? It's this source of rejuvenation, of confidence, of pleasure, of ecstasy, of even becoming a better, you know, like worker or better in aligned with your vocation in life. It's a way to lose weight. Like I see people like magically lose weight just by having better, more quality sex. So whether you're having it by yourself or with your partner, it's getting what I call your sexual engine revved up and getting that moving. right? And so if you're alone or you're single, I recommend starting a regular self-pleasuring practice. I've got a great video on YouTube called Self-Pleasure 101, and using different breathing techniques that I talk about that are all about harvesting, like I said, this sexual energy. I talk a lot about the difference between junk food sex and gourmet sex, right? And junk food sex is like, say, when you take a hit of sugar, right? And you get a quick hit, this like a bit of a high, but then there's this plummet and you often would pass out or you feel tired afterward or a little bit irritable or grumpy. Gourmet sex is like having this incredible six-course meal with all of these delicious ingredients, high-quality ingredients, and afterward you feel nourished and energized, and that's feeding you. That's actually building better cells in your body. So same thing with sex, right? There's a kind of sex that's more throwaway, like let's say porn-induced masturbation, where it's like just the only goal is a 3-minute orgasm, right? Would be sort of the lower. And there's no like moral judgment to this. My assessment is always like what's giving us the best quality energy out of this experience. And then gourmet sex, which would be like having a more connected emotional, psychologically, spiritually, physically with your partner. So afterward, you feel elevated. My big barometric question is, does sex make you feel energized, rejuvenated, ecstatic, and like it changed your life? And if it doesn't, then you're doing it wrong. And again, it's not like a judgment. It's just to say there's a way of having sex that gives you energy and that depletes your energy. So for single people, I'd recommend self-pleasuring if you want to even do a 30-day challenge, right? Like especially now, if you've got time on your hands, put your hands someplace valuable in between your legs and self-pleasure and breathe and do, like I said, these exercises that I've talked about. I've got a free video series on my website for the Well Fucked Woman Salon, and I guide you through this breathing practice to get the most rejuvenation out of your experiences, or your sexual experiences. And then if you're in a couple, if you're simply not having that much sex because you're putting other things in front of it, you're not feeling that connected, I also recommend like a 30-day sex challenge to keep things, like kick things off and get you back in that flow. If a couple is really estranged, right? Like you're actually kind of at each other's throats and you're struggling and the last thing that you can think about right now is touching each other, then I recommend that you start with what I call feng shui relationship conversations, right? Where you sit down and try to like figure out like why are, you know, this is a whole other kind of thing, but trying to open up communication, right? Have those difficult conversations and figure out like why are we at each other's throats? Why is there so much stress between us, and unravel that. And sometimes that means coaching or, you know, therapist involvement. I've got a coming together for couples salon online that's great for couples to go through and figure out like how do we build a more conscious, powerful relationship together. But for people, and most people are in the category of just kind of letting their intimate life fall to the bottom of the list of things that they do. So I would recommend either, if not a 30-day challenge, but regular sex dates, you know, say a minimum of 3 times a week where you actually schedule it in. And so you set that time aside, you get childcare, you get up 30 minutes earlier in the morning, or you get your kids to bed and just be like, mommy and daddy are having private time. And I think it's totally fine to tell your kids that, right?
That's instead of trying to tell our kids that, yeah.
Do you? What do you say to them?
We just say, okay, like we need 30 minutes. It's just mommy and daddy time because we love each other and we want to spend time together alone because that's what, you know, reconnects us so that way we can be good parents for you guys.
And that's amazing.
Yeah. We've done that for just about 2 years now, but they're like, I don't know what they're doing out there, but they don't come and knock on the door. So I'm fine with it.
That's incredible. Good for you. And that's exactly what you can say. It's just, this is some private time. I love that, to reconnect and to feel and be better parents. That's so beautiful. So I totally support that, you know, it's just being honest with them in that way, or to however you want to word things to them.
Well, yeah, but this is our, I want them to know that that's normal for when they have a partner. So that way they make sure it's a priority, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that's healthy modeling, right? Is that this is what people do who love each other. And I think actually it builds more security in children to know that their parents are into each other that way. If, you know, kids grew up thinking their parents never had sex or never knew if their parents had sex or never knew if their parents liked each other that way, they were just like these two kind of babysitters who looked after them together. Like, you know, I don't think that's good at all. It's terrible modeling for children. So I love that you do that. And that's it, right? Like you take that time and you build that into your life. So that just becomes a normal part of your existence as a family.
And the more that you do it, the less shame there will be. I mean, shame is always a choice, but I think so many women, they already feel guilty, you know, oh, I'm taking time for me and I'm taking time for, you know, my partnership. They feel that guilt, like, oh, I should be with my kids right now. And I'm so glad that you affirmed that because kids turn out better, you know, when they know that they are putting their partner first. I mean, I see it all the time with my husband. He was modeled a fantastic marriage. And so he doesn't have a lot of the issues. Like he's just great. And me, on the other hand, I was like, I saw so much crazy crap that I have a lot of stuff I'm working through, you know, especially when it comes to relationships. So I think you got to put this first, you guys.
Well, another frame on that is that this is your energy source together, yes. Right? Like often when couples feel tired and exhausted, they're like, oh, we're just too tired to have sex. And I try to reframe that to realize that, no, this is where you get energy from. This is where you plug in. This is your sanctuary. Like if you need an energy boost, go have sex. Like I often say, I don't do coffee, I do orgasms. Because if I'm feeling even throughout the day, right? Like I'm self-employed, I spend a lot of time writing and content creating. If I'm starting to feel a lull, I'll take 20 minutes, 40 minutes and go self-pleasure and breathe and do these exercises that I'm talking about or grab my partner and go have a little interlude to get some energy, right? So yes, to connect, but to get energy. This is how I rev up my energy. And so I love for people to start thinking that way. It's like, actually, if you go have, like, think about it. When you have amazing sex and a great connection with your partner, you walk out floating, right? You feel happy. You feel more patient. You let that driver in front of you on the street instead of honking at them and giving them the finger, right? Like you become a different person. You become a better version of yourself. And so that's what I'm trying to reprogram into people is that this is where you get this high quality nourishment from. And so it will pay you back tenfold, 100-fold if you prioritize it in your life.
I love that. And we'll make sure to link up all of these things for everybody listening in right now, because I'm sure everybody wants to go check out these free video series. Let's talk a little bit more before we get off this subject about kids. You say you hear all the time that kids are being used as an excuse, you know, like, oh, I have kids, I can't self-pleasure. You know, there's a lot of there's a lot of shame around that. So how do women, especially because women are listening in, how do they choose a different story around self-pleasuring instead of like this story around shame?
Well, I think part of it is what I said is looking at this as an energy source and a self-realization tool, like just the way you would meditate or exercise or eat well, your sexual energy and tapping into that is in the same realm, right? In the same, like what I consider to be a personal growth toolbox, except it's more powerful than potentially all of those put together. And to know, you know, what happens a lot with couples is that they have a degree of distance between them, and then they have a baby. And especially if the birth was difficult, right, it drives a further wedge between the couple. And so rather than the birth becoming a unifying experience, it kind of divides them. The woman is often feeling invalidated. She may have had, and most women do, have a difficult birth experience. And no one's really giving her much credit for that. They're like, well, you've got a healthy baby, right? Be grateful for that. It's like, well, yeah, I just got my body ripped apart, you know, and nobody really gives a woman that much credit for that, right? And so she's processing all of this stuff that's gone on without usually very much acknowledgement of that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, like combine that with a couple who, let's say, already had some issues, and not that many couples are truly having a conscious, close, open, communicating relationship anyway. And then you put that together, and like I said, that drives this big wedge, and they start to go almost in opposite directions.
I feel like you're describing my marriage great. Yeah. I
mean, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right.
Not right now, but it's like, yeah.
Okay. And then it's like at that point, then there's all of this cultural validation to say, oh, well, you just had a baby. Of course you haven't had sex. Or now it's been 2 years since you've had a baby. It's, you still haven't had sex. Well, that's normal, of course. And everybody's, and I say, like, you know, children become one of the biggest excuses for children, for a couple not being intimate. And I don't buy it. Mm-hmm. And so to me, like I said, that's because there was pre-existing conditions that then this was able to exacerbate that distance. So then it's about acknowledging, like, if you're buying what I'm saying, you know, if you're open to that idea, it's like, all right, well, what do we want? Do we want to be what I call a superpower couple? Meaning we're a couple who uses that strength, that connection, that relationship, that intimacy that we have as a power source. Okay, how do we get there? And then I've laid out some of those steps already, but I think it's a conscious acknowledgement to be like, hey, is this really what we want? Are we really, like, do we really feel happy with this narrative that we are just buddies, we're good partners in this relationship? Or do we want to be in that place where we probably had at the beginning of a relationship where we tear each other's clothes off and we can't wait to be together, and we do consider ourselves that source of energy, you know, and revitalization? And then you start prioritizing the steps to get there, right? Like a relationship is just like any other thing in your life. Like most people accept that to be successful in your career, you constantly have to be learning and growing and staying at the top of your game, right? You might go and do some training or education, but then once you even have a job, you would be doing apprenticeships or further, you know, seminars or workshops or conferences or, you know, whatever you could do to keep learning. But we don't think of relationships that way. The most education that people typically get from, you know, about relationships or sex is in school, where they learn that sex will kill you and sex will get you pregnant and off you go, right? And so rather than thinking about their relationship as another valuable project in their lives that deserves their time and their energy and their attention and their prioritization, right? People often don't think that way. And then it's definitely no surprise when the relationship withers. You know, it's like buying a plant and then initially being excited about it, putting it in the forefront of your living room where the sun comes in, you're watering and fertilizing, and then you're like, ah, that old plant, you know, and you put it into a corner and then it's got no sun, no life, no love, and it just dies. Right. And that's what happens with most people's relationships. So it's just realizing, A, that your relationship is a power source. B, if we're not feeling that connected right now, how do we get reconnected? And then third off would be, how do we maintain that now? These are habits for life. And I believe that lifelong passionate sex is possible, right? This isn't just relegated to the first couple of years of a relationship. That's not true at all. You can maintain and keep growing and having incredible sex and intimacy with your partner for decades. Mm-hmm. And I did actually a podcast on this with Dr. Bruce Lipton about a month or so ago, called Quantum Love and Healing. And he has a book out called The Honeymoon Effect, where he talks about how, and we talked about the whole process of how do you keep that going, right? And how it's basically just another story or excuse that no, it's not possible. It's nature's dirty trick, right? To get you together and get all your hormones firing and then say, oh, now you're together. Bad sex for the next 40 years, right? Like that seems to be what people accept. And that does not at all have to be the case.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited for all these mommy millionaires to have more sex. It's going to be awesome for your...
And get richer.
Yes, exactly.
If you want to get rich, have more sex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Last question, just because somebody I posted in my Mommy Millionaire Community Facebook group. And for those of you guys that are listening in that aren't involved in that, it's a completely free group. So make sure to check it out. I asked, like, what questions do you have for this amazing sex expert, Kim, that was coming on? And someone, a lot of them were stuff we already covered, but one of them said she's never had an orgasm, like a vaginal orgasm. So like she's had, you know, clitoral orgasms, but never on the inside. I think I'm not the expert, so I want to hear what you say. Like, why hasn't that happened for her?
Well, first of all, I want to put out what I call the Anami guarantee, is that every woman can. Okay. Every single woman on the planet is capable of every type of orgasm: clitoral, G-spot, cervical, anal, nipple, energy orgasm. All of these things are possible. The only reason, one of the main reasons they don't happen, first of all, is that people are so misinformed about different types of orgasms, right? Okay. And they'll say things like, oh, well, some women can and some women can't. No, I guarantee that every woman can. I've had women go home that very night and have their very first G-spot orgasm just because I told them they could. And they previously tried and bought into that notion, oh, I guess I'm just one of those women who can't. So that's one point. Another is that these deeper vaginal internal orgasms, like G-spot orgasms and cervical orgasms, require much more than just physical stimulation. And so you need to be able to open, you need to surrender, you need to feel trust. If you are with your partner and you're having kind of put you to sleep type of sex, right? Like, you know, very whatever, perfunctory, right? Right. That's not going to bring you to these magical, mystical, life-changing orgasms. And so you have to be in a very deep, very connected, very open place with yourself and your partner. So if you have residual, let's say, sexual trauma, poor experiences, even like a bad birth experience, right, where you've now internalized this trauma into your vagina, into your tissues, right? You've dissociated with that part of your body. That can be a major block. That's an issue to look at. And let's say in your partnership, right, there's some stuff, like I said, that's piled up over the years and you've built up resentment. And so you're going through the motions of having sex, but you're not truly deeply vulnerable and open and surrendered in that connection. Then you're not going to get there. So these are qualities that are often bypassed. Like when people are talking about looking at a lab and can you have a G-spot orgasm in a lab? You probably could put me in a lab and I wouldn't have one, because like, what an environment, right? Like I'm sitting around with a bunch of like people in lab coats staring at me and I'm going to give myself an orgasm. Are you kidding? Like I can do them on demand, but not, you know, in that kind of situation. But that's also a really good carryover to say a woman in a relationship with a partner where she's been barricaded, right? She's got walls up, she's feeling defensive, she's, like I said, swept a lot of stuff under the carpet. Until you clear all of that, that's the pathway for getting there. And so I look at orgasms as barometers, right? They're telling you if your connection, if within yourself, you're truly open, you're truly raw, you're really in trust, if you build it, they will come. You know, the orgasms will come. But if you're not getting there, it's just your body and your psyche telling you, hey, there's more work to do. Hey, you've missed a piece. There's some kind of element of healing that you haven't addressed yet. And the body is on sort of lockdown until you get it, right? Like that's how I like to look at symptoms in the body. These are actually higher messages from ourselves, right? Telling us there's more work to be done. Hey, put your attention over here. Hey, I've got something to tell you that you've tried to bury, right, for all of these years. And I'd really like to get your attention right now. So I have an amazing podcast episode called How to Have Vaginal Orgasms, where we interview one of our students and I talk about them, you know, in detail too. But she talks about her journey as a woman who could never have an orgasm, any kind of orgasm. And she then was able to, she did my vaginal kung fu course and the well-fucked woman course. And then she had clitoral orgasms and then G-spot orgasms. But I tell you, she was devoted, right? Like she had two young children. She was working, had a husband, and she would be like coming home from work and be like, I'm the only place I'm going to get some time alone right now is in my car. So she would pull over someplace and spend 2 hours self-pleasuring in the car, you know, or she would, and when her son was taking... Yeah. Or when her baby was taking a nap, she'd be like, right, I'm on it. I'm in the bed and I'm playing with my G-spot, right? And so she got there because she was determined to get there. So when people say, I don't have the time, I don't ever, I'm like, look at Amanda. You know, Amanda had every excuse that somebody would normally use to why they couldn't do these things, and she did it and she got there. So it's a great episode. I'll give you guys the link and you can post it to get that kind of inspiration from someone who was probably in many people's positions, right? Of having every possible odd stacked against them. And yet she transcended that.
Oh my goodness. Well, I can't wait to listen to it. I'm like, I'm going to do this as soon as we're
Well, I'm going to get in my car and go park someplace for 2 hours. Well,
that's what I should do. I mean, we are in quarantine, so I can really only do it in my car. Anyway, I am so obsessed with this whole conversation that we've had just because like you gave so many great tips. So just thank you so much for like the work you're doing in the world. And I just want to leave it on one note. I know you have already given us so many links and so many resources, but I want people to make sure to follow you. So where can they follow along for all your stories and all your goodies and what you got going on?
The best places would be my Orgasmic Enlightenment podcast. And I do a weekly episode there. And then I have a YouTube channel as well. My Instagram account, Kiminami, this is where you can find me, hashtag lifting objects with my vagina. And getting on my email list. So those would be the main things. And if you sign up for those video series for Vaginal Kung Fu and the Well-Fucked Woman, then you'll be on our list. But as I said, you'll also get exercises that you can practice even tonight about how to do these more expanded and like energizing breathing techniques so that you have that litmus test of, you know, when you have sex, you feel energized or you self pleasure, you feel energized rather than tired afterward.
So excited. Okay, so I have to ask you now. This is the last question before I let you go. What's the like craziest thing you've lifted with your vagina?
I have lifted a Murano glass chandelier. There's a photo of me in Venice in San Marco Plaza. And I went and rented those big like Venetian costume ball type dresses. Yes. And then we got a Venetian chandelier and I lifted that with my vagina. I've also lifted a piece of the Berlin Wall at the Berlin Wall in Germany, the Great Wall of Vagina. Those are two of my favorites.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to go search that immediately and post it in the Mommy Millionaire community for all of you guys. Well, Kim, thank you so much for showing up and doing this for us ladies. It seriously got me revved up, got me more excited to tap into this. And I'm going to go check out your courses too, because I'm going to probably get all of them. And because I think what you said hit the nail on the head when you said that this takes work, your relationship, your sex life takes work, just like all of you mommies listening in your business, you're so, you know, committed to investing in your business and your personal growth. You have to be committed to investing in your relationship and your sexual health too. And it's a process, right? So
absolutely. A lifelong process. You know, for some people, some of these changes can happen right away. And for some people, they take, you know, longer. But even so, I would say it's still just like the analogy with your career. It's still something to put time and energy into all the time. And think about it. If this is your life force energy that you always have access to, and your intimate relationship is the vehicle for that, then it's worth prioritizing as a major, important, constant piece of your life to constantly feed you, feed your business, and feed your family.
I love that. Thank you, Kim. And we will link up all of her goodies to the show notes. And I want you guys to make sure, if you loved this episode, so many women need to hear it, will you take a screenshot of wherever you're listening to this, and then just post and say, you know, what you learned from the episode and tag both me and Kim so maybe we could repost. I would love, love, love to see that this is helping you and changing your life. Text it out to some friends too. And as always, mommies, go out there and be shameless. Thank you for listening to the Mommy Millionaire Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to mommymillionaire.co. Make sure to follow Mommy Millionaire on Spotify and subscribe on iTunes. And it would mean the world to me if you left a 5-star review of the show. And as always, ladies, go out there and get what you want.